This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. In most places in this country, you can drive when you're 16. At the age of 18, you can vote. At the age of 21, you can buy an alcoholic drink. When do you become an adult? The topic has been hotly debated in recent years, and you can find social scientists who put the age of true American adulthood anywhere from 24 to 34. Some argue that adulthood is better defined by events rather than age, marriage, graduation, moving out of your parents' home. Others contend that attitudes, independent thought, and moral responsibility are more significant measures of maturity. Later this hour, we'll explore how changes in Canada's marijuana laws could affect American policy and cross-border traffic. But first, rites of passage, and we want to hear from you. If you're an adult, when did you feel fit to call yourself one? Was there a moment when, for better or worse, you realized that you had entered the realm of the grown-ups? And if you're not an adult yet, when do you think or what do you think might push you over that line? To join the conversation, give us a phone call. Our number in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now is Jeffrey Arnett, a professor of human development at the University of Maryland, the author of the book Adolescence and Emerging Adulthood, A Cultural Approach. And good of you to be with us on Talk of the Nation.
Good to be here.
How do you decide when somebody's an adult?
Well, it's a complicated process because most people determine that for themselves. We no longer have a clear cultural marker or societal marker that everybody agrees is when you reach adulthood. I think marriage used to have that significance, but now it's much more individualistic. So I think people have various criteria that are important for them in marking adulthood. For most people, it tends not to be definite events like finishing college or getting married or having a child. It tends to be more intangible, gradual processes like learning to accept responsibility, learning to make independent decisions, and developing an equal or at least a more equal relationship with your parents.
We got an email already that was sort of interesting. This from Scott Connor in Wichita, who notes that he's age 32 now. I realized I was an adult, he writes, excuse me, when my sergeant picked me up at the military police station after I was arrested for drinking underage. I kept waiting for him to yell at me like my dad would have done. No, I'm disappointed. No, you're grounded. Just see you in the captain's office first thing on Monday. And to some degree, you know, maybe he realized he was starting to be an adult when people treated him like one.
Yeah, that could be. And for some people, there is a real event that stands out that really marked for them the moving into adulthood. But as I said, I think for most people I interview anyway, it's a more gradual process. They feel like they have a long period from about age 18 to about age 25 or sometime in their later 20s when they feel like they're on the way to adulthood but not there yet. They're an adult in some ways but not others.
Obviously, there are in many cultures or subcultures or religious groups in this country rituals for becoming an adult that most of them seem to bring that age down to about 13 or 14 or 15.
Well, traditionally, in most cultures, marriage has been the real significant mark of adulthood. It's had that significance in most places, in addition to obviously being the joining together of a man and a woman for family life. It's also had the significance of meaning that you are an adult. And as I said, I think that used to be true in American society, at least historians say so. But I don't think that's true anymore. It actually ranks very low in my surveys when people are given a variety of criteria, some 40 criteria to choose from as being potentially important for adulthood. Marriage is pretty much rock bottom.
What rates highly?
Well, as I said, accepting responsibility for yourself, for your actions, making independent decisions, and establishing an equal relationship. Those three, an equal relationship with your parents, those three are really the big three in a wide variety of surveys that I've done.
Let's get a listener involved. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And our first caller is Dan, who's on the line with us from Berkeley, California.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
This program coming on right now is interesting. Just the other day I was telling my girlfriend that even though at the age of 27 and I'm living out here in California for 3 years away from my family and friends in Toronto, I still don't feel like an adult, and I'm wondering when that's going to happen. I'm going to MBA school next year. I've been, you know, independent. My parents have always treated me like an adult, even when I was very young. But to this day, I'm waiting for something to happen that's going to change my mind, and I'm not sure what that is, and I'm not sure that marriage is going to be that. I'm not even sure that having a kid's going to do that for me. So I'm just curious, what do other people my age say about that? What have the experts heard?
Well, Jeffrey, what do you think?
Well, I've interviewed quite a few people who are 27 and still don't feel like they're adults, so I don't think that's so unusual. But I think it varies a lot depending on the person. I mean, there's some people who, even at the age of 27, 28, 29, don't really feel like they've fully reached adulthood. Most people do have criteria in mind, though, that they feel like once they accomplish this or that, once they feel like they've really accepted responsibility or really learned to make their own decisions or something like that, then they feel like they will have reached adulthood. It's more unusual, I think, for someone like this caller to be unsure what exactly it would be that would move him into adulthood.
Dan, if it makes you feel any better, I mean, I certainly know 57-year-olds who wonder what they're going to do when they grow up.
Yeah, and it's not so much wondering what I'm going to do, because I don't think anybody really knows until a certain opportunity comes along, but it's more, I guess, a lifestyle that I'm waiting for. And I don't necessarily mean, you know, having a certain income, but I mean having a certain circle of friends, having certain kind of discussions, and waiting. I guess what just comes to mind is having certain feelings or emotional reactions to certain situations that you think you've outgrown, like a breakup, getting rejected by a school, or something like that. And I don't know if those things really ever do change.
No, that's interesting. That is something that a number of people in my interviews bring up, getting to a point where you're better at regulating yourself emotionally,
right,
so that you don't have as extreme reactions to things. You feel like you maintain a more even keel.
Well, Dan, good luck.
Thanks very much.
It'll happen.
Bye.
A couple of emails. You know, we're getting some like David Hill sent us. When you're an adult, when you first vote a straight Republican ticket in a national election, all right, we'll accept that, and all of the 4 million others that come in response. But this one from Edwin Okongo writes, "I'm from Kenya. I became an adult when I got circumcised at 16-year-olds and moved out of the hut." And that's a much more cleaner line than most of us, you know, experience in normal American society.
Yeah, we don't have anything like that in American society, do we? That is a clear event that after that event has passed, you know you're an adult. It's much more individualistic. We mark it individually instead of marking it as a society.
Let's kick another caller. There's another Dan, this one from Buffalo, New York.
Yes, hi. I'm calling. I'm actually a speech therapist, and I work with a lot of individuals with developmental disabilities. And I just, you know, my own personal self as a 27-year-old, I realized that I was an adult when my wife and I first started to worry about money, and our family wasn't there to bail us out. However, a lot of the adults that I work with developmental disabilities, it seems like their adulthood is categorized more based on test scores, more based on what society views them as in terms of their mental age, as opposed to their chronological age, because they may not always achieve the sort of consumer-based milestones that we all achieve in terms of, you know, being able to vote, being able to drink, being able to gamble, being able to do these sort of things that are inherent with our society. I'm just wondering what your guest feels about adulthood as seen through the eyes of somebody with a developmental disability.
Well, that's an interesting question. I can't say I've interviewed a lot of people who are in that category, but certainly it sounds like the issues would be different for them. It might be harder to gain the kind of independence for them that is important to most people in marking adulthood. I mean, that's a key part of it for most of the people that I interviewed is learning to stand alone, learning to stand on your own as I think you said, without relying on your parents. You don't get to run to them if things get rough.
Right,
it's tougher to achieve, I think, if you have developmental disabilities.
Exactly, and I think a lot of people view them as view it as, well, it's an issue of independence, where, and so a lot of people who have those sort of, you know, developmental issues are treated age inappropriately, and I think that that's a real problem, and they should be viewed more, maybe more chronologically, and should have their own adult issues that they should be able to face.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting. I mean, their problems with that, I mean, the sort of prejudices that you say they face are a reflection of our belief in American society that you do have to become independent and stand on your own until you can legitimately be considered an adult. But I can understand how that would be irritating for them.
Hmm. Well, Dan, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
And Jeffrey Arnett, before we let you go, was there a moment you realized, or a moment perhaps in retrospect, when you said, you know, that was, if there was a line there, that was what it was?
Well, I think it was gradual for me, too, and I was slow. I think most people do reach that feeling by the time they reach age 30, but for me it really didn't come until my early 30s when I was finally out of graduate school, and I had my first faculty job and really felt that I had gained some stability after a long adolescence and emerging adulthood of moving around a lot.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Jeffrey Arnett is the author of a book called Adolescent and Emerging Adulthood, A Cultural Approach. He was with us by phone from his home in University Park, Maryland. With us now is Thomas Hine, and he's the author of the book The Rise and Fall of the American Teenager. He's with us from radio station WXPN on the University of Pennsylvania's campus in Philadelphia, and nice of you to be with us on Talk of the Nation.
Glad to be here, Neil.
And again, you know, the same question I put to Jeffrey Arnett. How do you, in this society, figure out when you're an adult?
Well, our society is it's very ambiguous. As you've already pointed out, there are so many rituals which don't seem to work. You know, I attended a bar mitzvah recently, and the rabbi, instead of saying, you know, repeating the words, "Now I am a man," said, "Now I am a teenager." And in fact, adulthood is maybe another 13 years off, at least as the society perceives people.
Hmm.
One reason I think that we have this problem is really one of our strengths, which is that Americans believe so strongly in self-invention, and that we can always be something more, and that we can always be what we want to be. And this is strengthened by the consumer economy that's always trying to sell us one more thing that will change us and transform us. And so all of us feel unfinished, and we really want to feel unfinished.
You know, obviously the law considers you an adult at the ripe old age of 18.
Yes, well, of course, the law considers us adults at different times. I find it odd that maybe the most meaningful indications of maturity are those that say that you can indulge in certain vices legally, like,
mm-hmm.
as you said, gambling, drinking, and so forth. And we perhaps
some might put voting in that same category, but go ahead.
Well, voting is an interesting case, because if people don't really feel like adults and they don't really feel like participants in the society, they're not as likely to vote, and that may be one reason why we have such poor turnout among young people when it comes to Election Day.
We're taking your calls and emails on the question of when is it that you actually turn into a grown-up, become an adult. Our telephone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Here's an email we got from Karen Nash. I'm 31 years old, and every time I get excited over new appliances, I know I'm officially a grown-up. More after a break. I'm Neil Conan, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're discussing the rite of passage into adulthood. When did you feel like a grown-up? When you turned 18, when you got married, had kids? Was there a moment? Our telephone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And our guest is Thomas Hine, the author of The Rise and Fall of the American Teenager. He's with us from the studios of WXPN in Philadelphia. Is there something, Mr. Hine, do you think distinguishes contemporary American definitions of adulthood from those of other countries?
Well, in fact, it's very different from our own definitions of adulthood. We seem to be moving toward a period in which adult life is shrinking from both ends, that somehow or other we go from adolescence to senility with only a very brief period of maturity. At one time we talked about different criteria for being grown up. Once in America, the criterion was literally size. Were you grown up? Were you big enough to do a man's job? Were you old enough to bear a child? You know, and obviously one of the key components of being considered grown up is that you can do a task that you're being asked of and that other people are depending on you to do it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the emails we're getting, in one way or another, relate to your relationship with your parents, which I guess is no surprise. I was home for a month during a summer college break, and my father and I had spent the day cutting wood, writes Kate Furr in Portland, Oregon. When we'd cleaned up for supper, he offered me a drink, bourbon and orange juice. That was a significant turning point for me. I realized that my parents, my father at least, saw me as an adult. This one from Carla Kaufman. I'm 35 years old, and the time I felt I was an adult when I recently had to begin taking care of my parents.
Yeah, one thing that's interesting is that that in many cultures, there is a period of banishment, that somebody is a child or and is sent away, as we do to college, for example, send young people to college. And then when they come back, we're hoping that there'll be different people and that there will be a different relationship between the parent and the child than before they went away.
Let's take another call. Amy joins us from Denver, Colorado.
Hi. I knew I was an adult. I sell advertising time for a television station here in Denver, and I work with demo sales every day on how they want to market their product.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that I turned 35 and I was no longer desirable for soda and gum, the day I became an adult.
You were demographically challenged.
I still hold fast that I'm still, like, in the car demo, but, no.
Undesirable. Now, there's a categorization. Yeah, I've been so undesirable for a long time now. You realize you're what you watch and what you buy means nothing.
Well, and the station is a WB affiliate, and I found myself watching one of our shows and actually thinking, wow, the dad on this show is really hot. And I'm like, I'm looking at the dad.
Amy, I think we better leave it right there.
Exactly.
Okay, thanks very much for the call. Bye-bye. That's interesting. Thomas Hein, you write a lot about the transition. We're making fun, and obviously that call was funny. But adolescence does seem to extend a lot later.
Yes, it certainly does, and it really has to do with the degree, the point at which people are willing to really depend on you, that we're now getting so that it's at least into the mid-20s, so that you've gotten out of graduate school or whatever. And then you don't really get a chance to start doing things, to start being in the world and living your life nowadays if you're of a certain class, if you're a certain upper middle class aspiration. You don't really start to do that until your mid-20s. I mean, I think this is very wrong. I think that one of the problems that we have as a society with young people in their teens, is that we don't expect enough of them. We don't give them enough responsibility. We don't give them a sense that they are being depended upon, and therefore teenagers nowadays spend $160 billion a year, just about all of it on the WB demographic stuff, the chewing gum, the records, the cosmetics, the clothes, etc.
Let's go to Eileen, who joins us from Cincinnati.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I'm 73 years old and the eldest of 10 children, and I felt as though I was an adult very, very young because of responsibility.
Sure, you had to take care of all your brothers and sisters.
I had a newborn baby when I was 10 years old. That was pretty responsible, I felt. But anyway, growing up in a very less than middle class family, being poor, things I wouldn't tell my mom about kids making fun of my clothes because I didn't want to hurt her. I don't think that was adult. But when I got married, I had to get her to sign, my parents to sign it at 20 years of age. But I knew I was an adult when they placed at 21 years of age a newborn baby, and I was on my own when the first crisis turned up. I knew I was an adult then. It was far different than giving the baby back to my mom.
I bet, but you'd had a lot of training, it sounds like.
Oh, I did, and your gentleman just before saying that kids aren't given responsibility today, I don't think they are. And I had lots of it as a young person.
Well, thank you very much for that, for sharing that story with us. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Neil, for taking my call.
Thanks very much, Eileen. Thomas Hine, certainly when we were a different society, a rural society, kids did get a lot more responsibility, and certainly in certain aspects, even in cities, they did at different times.
Oh, absolutely. And really, it was only during the Depression, during the 1930s, that for the first time a majority of American teenagers or people we consider to have been of high school age actually went to high school, that people were major supports for their families before that, the majority of young people.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Neil.
Thomas Hine is the author of The Rise and Fall of the American Teenager. He joined us from radio station WXPN in Philadelphia. We're also getting a lot of emails on when people realized they were grown up. Joanne Grusho in St. Joseph, Michigan writes, as a senior in college, I was head resident and living alone in my first apartment. One day while making something to eat, I dropped some messy food between the refrigerator and the stove. I started to walk away and then realized that if I didn't clean it up, it would be there for a long time. I still see that as the moment when I realized that I was responsible for myself and all of my actions. And here's one from Denise in Indianapolis, when he traded his Corvette in for a minivan. joining us now from NPR's Bureau in New York is Siobhan Adcock. Her book is 30 Things Everyone Should Know How to Do Before Turning 30. It will be released in June. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, your book covers a number of skills that really talk about, you know, sort of functioning adulthood, a practical adulthood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to think of it as sort of a survival manual for one of the most bafflingly ignorant periods of your life, which would be your late 20s and early 30s. Maybe the most bafflingly ignorant being your teens.
Perhaps.
So.
But your suggestions include that before you turn 30, you ought to know how to wrap a present, change a tire, hold a baby. Why is it important that age 30? An awful lot of people know that well before they're 30.
30 certainly isn't a cutoff date. But I think that as you approach 30, as a lot of people have been saying, you really expect to start feeling like more of a grown-up or at least more like one than you did at 20. And, you know, the years leading up to your 30s require you to develop a whole new skill set. You're moving ahead in your career. Your friends, your family, your parents, your grandparents are all getting older. A lot of your friends are going to start getting married, having babies, buying property. And all of these things kind of require you to step up to the plate and know what you're doing with a certain amount of suavity, I would think.
Know what you're doing in suavity are qualities that can elude even people a lot older than 30. But I was just noticing, you know, an awful lot of these are a lot social skills. I mean, you know, all right, changing a tire is one thing, but a lot of these are social skills, and an awful lot of them seem to involve food.
Sure. And a lot of them involve alcohol, too, I think. knowing how to
hold your liquor was on the list, and knowing how to deal with a hangover is another one.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's one of those little litmus tests of your personality. You know, when you're 18 years old, it's an oddly infantilizing age. You can get married, you can go into the army, you can vote, but you can't buy beer. So by the time you're 21, that privilege has finally been granted to you. And what the first thing that a lot of people go out and do is abuse it and make themselves look like idiots in public. And, you know, by the time you're 30, you should be able to handle that, if nothing else.
Email from Bruce Kanagaki in San Antonio, Texas. While still a high school student, I realized that I was growing up when I looked forward to Halloween in order to pass out candy and see all of the excited and elaborately costumed children rather than trick-or-treat or hoard pillowcases full of candy myself. You'll learn when you have a kid, you can just steal his candy. I have a question. Your guest suggested sometimes people find themselves feeling they're adults when they're on equal footing with their parents, but with the economy in shambles, many 30-somethings are turning to their parents for financial help and thus are turning to a place where they are no longer on that equal footing. Where does relationships with your parents come into the 30 things you have to know?
Well, I think that, you know, by the time you're 30, you need to be able to talk with your parents about, you know, just about anything. And ideally, you wouldn't be calling them for financial support. I think that, you know, that's something that's, you know, sort of out of the question for a lot of people I know. And, you know, the moment that I felt like I was a grown-up was the moment at which I, you know, for being in New York, it's all about real estate. The moment at which I signed a lease for an apartment that I was going to be living in by myself. And, you know, while that was a watershed moment, I still had to call Mom for a little bit of help with that, you know, enormous security deposit. And, you know, as you become older, your relationship with your parents becomes a little more complicated with respect to money. It's the moment at which you start feeling really guilty calling Mom for some emergency cash that I think a lot of people realize, I'm a grown-up. I shouldn't be doing this anymore.
Bud joins us now on the line from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I have a question and a comment. Comment first. I've been married for 40 years. I'm 59 years old. And based on what the Bible says, you can't commit adultery until you've made a commitment to somebody. I feel that I became an adult when I made that commitment and got married at age 18. And now the comment or the question, after having been married for 40 years, I find that being an adult is no great shakes. My question is, when do I get to be a kid again?
Well, Siobhan Adcock, I'm not sure that that's part of your line of inquiry, but maybe you can help him out.
I don't know if I'm qualified for that one. Yeah, well, you know, when I start feeling like a grown-up, I'll certainly call you back, Neil, and I'll let you know.
Okay, Bud, what are you most hankering after to be a kid again?
To be as carefree as I was when I was 10 or 12 years old.
Now, knowing that you can't do that, I think that might be a definite sign of adulthood.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right, but it's, you know, everybody when they're young, they can't wait till they reach those milestones. I want to be 16, I want to drive, I want to be 18, I have to get married, I want to go in the Army, I want to be able to drink. But, you know, they don't realize how good they've got it when they're kids and they don't have all that burden of responsibility.
Well, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Here are some of today's headlines and some of the top stories at NPR News. The U.S. says it has the strongest evidence to date that Saddam Hussein's government was trying to produce biological weapons, but U.S. forces have yet to find any actual weapons. And it's now apparent that the second Toronto outbreak of the SARS virus was smoldering for several weeks, but by that point, people were declaring victory over SARS and had relaxed their precautions. More on both of those stories today on All Things Considered. Right now, you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go to another caller. Dan joins us on the line from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to comment on the when do you know you're an adult, but I get you have changed segments now.
No, we haven't. That's still the issue.
Oh, okay. Well, I kind of figured when I was an adult, when I was over in Vietnam as a soldier, and people were shooting at me. And I said, gee, I must be an adult.
Yes, indeed. It's not a game, all of a sudden.
It was
dramatic. Yeah. And there are incredible numbers of stresses and decisions that you have to make, very grown-up decisions, and you have to live with the consequences of those decisions for the rest of your life when you're in that
That's
situation.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Not a happy moment, is it, though?
Well, not entirely. It was... it was very introspective.
Well, have you ever looked back in retrospect and realized that you were forced into adulthood a little earlier than you might have been ready for, or did you think ultimately you handled it pretty well?
No, not really, because growing up, I was given a lot of responsibility and so forth. So I was, I guess... doing a lot of adult things before then when I was a teenager.
Well, Dan, thanks very much.
Okay, enjoy the program.
Appreciate the phone call.
Okay.
Siobhan, you know, the military for, you know, a couple of generations of Americans at the very least in the 40s and 50s, going into the military, at least for men, was definitely, that was the rite of passage.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, people of my generation are incredibly lucky in that there have not been, you know, that many pressing reasons. There have not been so many wars that, you know, young men have been drafted. And there aren't that sort of rite of passage is something that a lot of people of my generation are able to, you know, skip over. You can join the Army voluntarily and you don't need to be worried about, you know, when I turn 18, I'm going to be sent over to Vietnam or to Korea. And, so that means that, teenagers nowadays are a very lucky group of people. They have more disposable income to spend than ever before. They have more sort of power within the culture than ever before. And, you just want to make sure that those powers and privileges are being used wisely. And that's maybe also a moment of adulthood.
Let's get a call from Lee, who joins us from San Antonio, Texas.
Hi, Neil. Hi, Siobhan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Within the past 10 days, my husband graduated from dental school. I graduated from a master's program. We moved halfway across the country from North Carolina to Texas, away from our families of origin. My husband went on active duty as a captain in the Air Force. We bought a house, and yesterday was my 24th birthday. So
within the past,
oh, thank you. But within the past 10 days, I feel like I've hit on a lot of the topics covered already in the program.
Yeah, it's sort of the high hurdles of the rites of passage.
Exactly. All within a 10-day period. I don't think I've really processed it yet. But yet I don't think I feel like an adult. And granted, I haven't written that first check for my mortgage payment yet, but I still, you know, am eligible to check the 18 to 24 box. And so I feel like I'm in this funny limbo state where I'm doing all of the things that adults do, and yet I don't really feel like one. So I certainly identify with today's topic.
Well, thank you very much. And along with Siobhan, I also say happy birthday.
Thank you, Neil.
And good luck.
Thank you.
Siobhan, thanks very much for being with us today. Are you able to do, by the way, you're 29. Can you do all 30 things?
I can do all of them but one.
And what's that?
Well, I can't whistle with my fingers. There are about 20 million great reasons to know how to whistle with your fingers, and I haven't mastered it yet. It's one of those things that you just have to practice, and you're going to get spitty and hyperventilate and look like you're stuffing a small animal into your mouth, but you just have to practice until you get it right.
Siobhan Adcocka, hang in there.
Thank you.
Her book is 30 Things Everyone Should Know How to Do Before Turning 30. She was with us from our bureau in New York. We've been talking about the rite of passage from kid to grown-up. Coming up, illegal imports from Canada become an issue as Ottawa considers changes in its marijuana laws. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.